Our contributor, Eliza Griswold, has been reporting from Pennsylvania on the political trends affecting the midterms. There's the Senate race between Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, and a Lieutenant Governor, John Fetterman, who suffered a stroke this year that's impacted his campaign, particularly after he struggled in a recent debate. But there's also something else going on in Pennsylvania, an energized movement of Christian nationalists aiming for power in state government. Those nationalists see God, not the will of voters, as the source of authority in government. Our writer Eliza Griswold says the movement is truly significant at the state level, where it can put far-right candidates into the legislature. Eliza, this is not your old-school Christian right that we used to talk about, the era of Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell, is it?
Not at all, David. This is something really different. This isn't about injecting, you know, Christian values into society. This is about overthrowing secular democracy.
In what sense?
In the sense that what we see is people who believe that a God-ordained government requires that they take over the institutions of democracy. It's actually a kind of thinking called dominionism that's growing very popular in some circles in Christianity.
So how is that influencing the races in Pennsylvania?
Well, let me take you back to an event that happened in early July.
Any free men and women in the house?
This took place in the rotunda of the state capitol building, which is a beautiful building that nobody ever goes to, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow, what a great day, thank you.
And Doug Mastriano, who is the Republican candidate for governor, he was a headliner to this.
And what did he have to say? What were the ideas that he was espousing?
So this is a press conference that marked in Pennsylvania the Charter Day, which nominally it's a day that recognizes the anniversary of King Charles II granting William Penn the land, essentially, that is now Pennsylvania, which he did in 1681. Now, William Penn did that. He came to America because he needed religious freedom. And that's the idea, really, that Mastriano has seized on.
William Penn had a dream given to him by God of a place that we know later on as Pennsylvania, where men and women can live as they see fit and not as any king or magistrate or governor saw fit.
And as you Mastriano and many other members of the Christian nationalist movement use William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, as a kind of model and precursor for their imagined recapturing of history.
Having suffered so much for his faith and being castigated for being a Christian and condemned in the media and judged by those people who think they're so self-righteous and better than others that they can stand in judgment of others.
What Mastriano means is freedom for a tiny minority. He doesn't mean when he talks about persecution or persecution by the media or religious freedom, he isn't talking about diverse freedoms. He's talking about freedom for Christians like him.
No, Eliza, my understanding of the politics of the midterm elections revolves around inflation, around basic economic issues, around crime, around whether you like Joe Biden or not, or whether you think he's too old to be president, and all kinds of what you usually called kitchen table issues. This is something quite different. Is it really an animating part of the governor's race in Pennsylvania?
It is an animating factor because it fuels, in Pennsylvania, what's happened, as has happened elsewhere, is that it fuels the idea of basically stop the steal. The idea that God gave this Christian nation, it also gives people the obligation to overthrow what they say is illegitimate governments. And that's really how these two movements have fused between Christian nationalists who claim the moral authority of God and election deniers who are looking for a base who will support them in their claims that 2020 was fraudulent and we have to massively change voting for the future.
Another person who spoke at that event along those lines is a woman named Abby Abildness. Can you tell us who she is?
So Abby Abildness calls herself an apostle in this movement to literally capture state legislatures and bring America back to an imagined past when it was a Christian nation. She has risen to prominence as a leader of these Jericho marches, which really sprang up in the wake and got powerful in the wake of the 2020 election, and in many ways became a precursor to what we saw on January 6th.
Okay, we're in the middle of the Jericho March going around. We just did the first two times around.
The idea at the core of them is that the state capital, the secular government, the seat of secular government, is evil as the city of Jericho was in the Bible. And these guys are calling on God to knock down the seat of secular government so that they can, inspired by God, come in and take it over by walking seven times around the Capitol.
March around seven times, and you will see me bring it down. God will bring it down. This is a big call on our whole nation, but Pennsylvania really is leading from our founder.
Abby Abilness really brings together a lot of these different elements, right? Because on one hand, she is, you know, an apostle in this movement we've been talking about. On the other, she helps lead the Biblical Prayer Caucus in Pennsylvania. These prayer caucuses are across the country. They are the way that over the past decade, we have seen the far right take over state legislatures by infusing these different kinds of biblical bills like, well, gay people can't adopt children, right? Constitutional bans on abortion. That's really associated with this group. And it's growing and it's powerful. And it is a way that the old school Christian right has become something very new and far more muscular.
You know, we hear the term Christian nationalist all the time. And as someone who's been reporting on this movement, tell me what the term means to you. And also, how many people identify truly as Christian nationalists in this country?
So what the term means, anybody, most of the people who espouse to these ideas, most of the people who believe in these ideas don't like that term at all. They reject it as like a liberal construct. Mastriano asked me, is this a term you fabricated? So how it's different from the old school Christian right is this idea that Christians, of course, America's a Christian nation. Now, that's something, according to a recent study, 45% of Americans believe, which is alarming enough, right? But then you take that idea, it's not just that America is a Christian nation. Christians are duty-bound to take over the instruments of government and society, and that really is different. Now, how popular is it? That's a harder question to answer. The truth is, a lot of this is rooted in Pentecostalism, speaking in tongues. This is the fastest growing religion in the world, right? It's highly decentralized. It doesn't have numbers attached. And people claim their own authority, right? These people are prophets and apostles who say that God has told them to do certain things. And that is really new. And that is pretty concerning.
I can't help asking, the decisive race in these midterm elections may be the Senate race in the state of Pennsylvania. Some months ago, we would have thought that Mehmet Oz just didn't have a chance. I mean, he was being described quite roundly in Pennsylvania as somebody who doesn't live in the state, as someone who is improvising all the time in terms of policy in the worst possible sense, and just somebody destined to lose, Fetterman. But then things changed. He had a stroke, and the recovery process has been very complicated. And that culminated in what I have to think was a problematic at best and possibly disastrous debate with Oz. So where is that race now?
Good question. So that race is too close to call and will be for some time. John Fetterman, who is 6'8", right? Like in shorts, in snow, like he's a burly Democrat, right? Which we may see as the future of the party. Like maybe that's helpful when we talk about like left populism, right? There is something very human about his hesitations now, which I myself experienced with him when I interviewed him, which we had to do with closed captioning, right? Like he couldn't do that in person. And we make all kinds of allowances for people. So just to say that. But at the same time, the people who he's going for, the disaffected white working class who went for Trump and peeling them off the Republican Party, which is one of the places he's been so successful, these are not a lot of guys who are looking for empathy and talk about ableism, you know? So the question is, can he hold them if he doesn't look competent?
Mm-hmm. What has been the course of the numbers in the last couple of months?
The margin has just gone down and down, right? He was leading with a super comfortable margin. Oz exactly looked like a joke, especially. And Fetterman was so good with that. Like, you would drive around, you'd see signs on lawns, you'd see signs for Fetterman and Mastriano, right? Those days are behind us. And it's hard to know, is that because of his health? Is that because races always tighten, right? It's unclear. And Republicans, I've talked to several this week who are actually gleeful, you know, and also feel generous enough to say, well, I hope the guy's okay. But you can see that they think they scored a major point, and we'll have to see how that plays out.
Eliza, thank you so much.
David, thank you.
You can read Eliza Griswold's reporting on the Pennsylvania election campaign and much more at NewYorker.com.